Welcome to the Small Business Big Heart Podcast. I'm your host, Amber Zarikor. This podcast is loaded with raw stories from real people running successful businesses with heart to encourage and inspire you along your journey. We will focus on the heart behind the business, aka you, the business owner, by sharing their heart, their story, and the passion behind why they started in the first place. As a business owner myself, I'm here to remind you that in the midst of the organized chaos that comes with running a business, good things do indeed happen to good people. My goal and heart for this podcast is that you will walk away with lessons learned from people who have walked a similar journey for the inspiration to keep going. Chase that big, scary dream. Are you ready? Let's do this. Okay, guys, let's get real here. Being a business owner is so isolating. Add quarantine on top of that, and I mean, we can all pretty much agree that 2020 was a pretty lonely year. Now more than ever, I've noticed how much my community truly impacts my business. From coffee shop meetings to networking events, these little moments throughout the week of in-person connection have truly gotten me through so many seasons in my career. How does community truly affect the success of our business? And where do we find it? Enter Kathy Thomas. Kathy is the owner and founder of Collective 615, a women's only co-working space right here in Nashville. Kathy and I are digging deep into the importance of finding a community that builds you up as a business owner. We're going to chat about how COVID affected her personally and the steps she took to find the good in the midst of all of these uncertain times. Her heart for female business owners and providing a space that encourages collaboration over competition is so inspiring. And if that's not enough for you, her internationally published photography business has her traveling all around the world, building relationships along the way, making her literally a connection expert. Seriously, guys, you're going to want to check out the show notes with her photos. They're going to blow your mind. We discuss the power of camaraderie in business, how pivoting should be a cuss word, and why coffee shops might not be the best place to fuel connection. Kathy spread some tough love in this episode, so hold on tight. Kathy says, let your ego go, open yourself up to a community that will build you up. Preach. I loved every minute of this interview, and I know that Kathy's words will speak to you. I hope that this episode encourages you and inspires you to seek the community that you've been craving. And now, with no further ado, Kathy Thomas.
You know, people want to hear this, like, why did you create Collective 615? Is it a feminist movement? Is it a political move? Like the wing, you know, it's like, is it all these things? And I was like, I really wanted women to have a place to come to be great. Like, as simple and as cheesy as that might be, like, if I told you anything else, I would make it up. I didn't know originally it was going to be for women only until I really plugged into the community in Nashville and I started meeting. I mean, when I say, like, I'm not talking about like 10 or 20 women who own their own business. I'm talking about like hundreds and businesses I never even knew it existed. And I was like, what? And I'm like, where do you guys all work? And they're like, coffee shop, my bed, my dining room table. And I thought, yeah, I just sat and talked with you for 20 minutes and that doesn't match you. It doesn't match your logo. It doesn't match your website. I'm like, where do you meet clients? Oh, coffee shops. And I'm, and you know, as a former New Yorker, I'm like, I remember meeting like in coffee shops and I worked a traditional job in New York, but like the smell of the person next to you, like you can't control that. the condition of the bathrooms, you can't control that, or getting the code key to the bathroom. And then as a business owner, you know, I really plugged into like what was happening in coffee shops and like they're removing the outlets. Like you'll see this in coffee shops, like the outlets are now plugged or they're removed, or the Wi-Fi drops really low midday. Or now even some put even the sticker that's like, if you're going to sip, like you need, and because they need to make money. And as much as they appreciate that person that comes in and sits, a coffee shop is not an office.
Yeah. And for a client that's paying for that excellence in the service that they're hiring you for, they're not expecting that experience either. So they're just as confused, and the disconnect is there as well.
Yeah.
I've heard you say it so many times too, like the community aspect of it. Mm-hmm. You mentioned it, community, when you were talking about other co-working spaces going through similar things in Nashville, and you have like a group of co-working. I've heard you say that with members. I've heard you say that with sponsors and other educators. How would you say community is poured into all of these things for you?
I mean, I think I would first start with like Nashville is definitely a very unique hybrid of creative, driven. And when I say educated, I'm not talking about textbook. People who really have thoroughly bled for their passion. And when I saw that really early on, I mean, I was shocked. I'll be honest. Like I expected when I moved here 3.5 years ago, like that is not what I thought. Like I was really surprised. And the one thing I saw and witnessed was even from like my church group or from, like ILEA, which is like an events organization, or TWIZA, an events organization, like people consistently came together to be part of something that they believed in, that made them better in whatever role or whatever they were seeking. And with Nashville being such a transient city, it really created, I could see it, it created people a comfortability level of like, hey, there's like-minded people with similar drive, different journeys, but we're kind of all heading in the same direction. And if we can get together and help each other get there better, sometimes faster, we all win. And it really exemplified a lot in Nashville. And because of that, you know, it made me want to figure out how I could kind of sink my teeth in deeper to figuring out how do we create that amongst business owners. Because it is such a lonely road. You know, being the leader of your own business, you are HR, you are marketing, you are talent acquisition, you are the operations, you're the janitor, I mean, you're everything. And so how do you get enough people together that continue to lift each other up, build each other up? Because it's that, it's those things when you all of a sudden, when you get in that headspace, if you don't have community around you, and it's in everything. Like if you don't have a strong family, and I'm not saying your family's your blood, I am living proof of that. Your community, and maybe so I'll dive into that because that's kind of a little touch on it, but your community is what lifts you up. It's what gets you moving throughout the day. It's what helps you build your confidence. And I tell people, so in entrepreneurs, I'm like, make sure you're surrounded by a lot of people that believe in what you're getting ready to do. And your warm market will spend dollars on you. Your friends are not going to ask you for a free service. They're going to be like, wait a minute, I would have paid for this before. I'm going to now pay for it through you because I'm supporting you, your family, your dreams, your goals. So there's your answer. So it took me a second to walk into it was that like, I knew that there was an opportunity because it was already happening in all these networking groups. So networking is big. So going out, having a drink, talking, collaborating. But I thought what happened when business women came together and never thought that they were competition to each other, that they'd only help each other thrive and grow. And I really thought, you know what, here's the thing. I was in two big box co-working spaces, very short periods of time when I was creating this model. And part of it was, I loved the concept. I mean, it was part of what made me love the concept was the big box, glass rooms, community space, coffee bar. But what it also made me realize when all those glass walls were up, it divided people.
Yeah.
People in the offices behind the glass, that was their job. People in the community space, that was theirs. And there was no community. Because there was a clear divide. And so when I built this, I knew I wanted to take down all the walls. I wanted people to sit in here, and I don't care if you're a photographer, a lawyer, singer, songwriter, real estate agent, branding director, if you were the writer for Dave Ramsey, if you were in mental health, there's no sign on the wall. There's no label on the door. We're all just sitting here kind of mustering in our challenges together. And through coffee, it's like, well, what do you do? And it's like, oh, you know, Allison's a perfect example. She's our lawyer and she's a lawyer here in the space. And she's like, oh, I'm a small business lawyer and I work on patent laws and I help you protect your legacy. Like, let's get into your contracts. And it takes that to be like, oh my goodness, I have a client that needs what you have. Mm-hmm. Can I lead you to my client? And that helps me build my net worth because I now have you in my board of directors. I now can pull you in. And that wouldn't happen if she was the lawyer sitting in the glass bubble all day long.
Absolutely. And as one of those, you're like, brand new director, like all of those things you just list off, I like, I'm almost in tears right now because it's like, I know every single person you're talking about. Like you listed off members and I know them.
Yeah.
And I like, out of how many members right now do you have signed up?
We have 81. We just went through the numbers.
And you just listed like 7 professions and I know those girls.
Yeah.
Like, because we show up and we talk and we share those things. And even other graphic designers, like being able to sit at the table and they have proofs, like printer proofs laid out all over their table and they have marks all over it. And they're like, do you mind looking at this quick? It's like, absolutely. What you working on? Do you need help like at all? I'd love to collab. And you like created this space that's open and automatically like the competition's left at the door. Like it's not an option. It's completely not tolerated.
100%.
Have you had to, I feel like in your member process, you make it so clear that it's almost like an unwritten thing that doesn't even need said because of the women, the type of women that you're bringing into this space.
I do.
Would you agree?
I do. And I think that the space even says that, like, you know, it was the difference between like, do I want it to look like your home or do I want it to look like an office? And I mean, we're a pretty damn pretty office, you know, pink leathers and crushed velvets, but it's all office furniture. We were just able to customize it to really girlify it. And so it is, you know, it's this towering chandelier above my head that looks like a bunch of wine glasses put together. It is our plants all having like female empowerment names. But I wanted, you know, I didn't want it to feel like home. Home is where you are a wife, where you are a mom, where you are a roommate, where you are a sister, where you are a daughter. You know, that's what home is for. Maybe you're the chef of the family. Maybe you're the cleaner of the family. You know, whatever role you may play, that's what home is for. Home is your life after the paycheck.
You create and that balance by just having the space.
Yeah. And so I wanted people to walk in here and go, I'm in business. You know, I'm in business here and it needs to look that way, but it also looks custom to me.
I think that's huge. Also, just speaking of your space, I have to give you some serious credit for you are like the queen branding client, like the ideal perfect client, because when we handed you over your brand guidelines, you literally like matched the Pantone swatch from your color palette into the couch. Like, I like walk in and I was like, this is the evergreen Pantone that we picked. And this is the mauve color that we picked. And this is the blush. And I'm just like, my designer, like just happiness is scale is through the roof.
I mean, you made that easy for me. You know what I mean? Like it was one of those things where like you caught the wave of the vision and it goes back to, again, I didn't want it to feel like a home. I wanted it to feel like a business. And so it goes back to what you said about who we attract. I think part of our branding is why we attract the women we do. And we attract women who, you know, who will go to their company and say, hey, you know, I don't want to work from home anymore. Can you spend the $200, $250 for me to have an office space where I'm going to be more productive, where my mental health is going to be really solid? Can I go there and work for the day? Because here's the deal. All the women out there listening, you are saving your company so much money by working from home. Don't be afraid to ask them to take care of you from a mental health standpoint and get you out of your home.
That's so awesome. That's just the encouragement that keeps you rolling. What would you say that your biggest vision is for 2021?
My vision for 2021 is us to have a membership base that really supports the idea of the female community of entrepreneurs and or women who work from home. Because we truly have about a 50-50 ratio in that aspect of a lot of women now because of COVID. And it's something we could not have anticipated prior to COVID. So the vision for 2021 really is that really solid membership base that really embraces community and gets involved with the things we thought we'd already have rolled out for 2020. Obviously, some hiccups in the road this year. No surprise there. But like community outreach programs, more mentoring, educational programming, keynote speakers, workshops. I think now we have become more experts on how to navigate COVID and the health department's guidelines. So we have like the number of how many people we can have in here. Our space is labeled. We use, you know, hospital grade disinfectant. We have hand sanitizer everywhere. We have a great masking policy in place. So I think now that we feel more confident and comfortable with keeping people as safe as we possibly can for 2021 is then really going back and embracing our programming that fits right in line with our model originally, which is like, you know, community providing a space that really is elevated for women to feel empowered when they come to work and having a network and a net worth of people that help them generate revenue, ideas, partnerships, collaborations. And then on top of that is bring in education. So they are not out constantly, especially now. So funny, you know, and we can go into like why I created this and I saw the void in the market. But like, I felt like I almost had a full job time job when I moved here of going to all these amazing networking events. And they were all so different, but I thought, man, I could quit like my career as a photographer and actually do this full time because there was so much healthy and viable information that was being delivered at everything, but it was legit. It was a full-time job. And so when I built this model, I thought, well, what happens if in your own workspace, we brought all of that into one? So at the end of the day, you could choose to stay, or guess what? Like something that I found was a big void in Nashville was all of the networking happened at night. And I was like, but we all are in our own job. So what about a luncheon? Or what about an early morning? You know, something like that. So bringing that back into place. So 2021 is going to be about building our community, community of members, and really focusing on that because we also have a really great handle now on who is our members. And that's been, I just got goosebumps thinking about that because I feel like we really know exactly who they are. And then number two, bringing back our programming and events. And then one thing we knew we would do eventually, we didn't think that COVID would throw us into it, like literally threw us into the fire with it, was renting out our space for events because we did want to share our gorgeous space with the community beyond our members. And so we have been very busy enough to where we brought on a headcount, like we brought on an expanded payroll and offered someone a job during, you know, actually we kind of offered her a job right out of quarantine. And she heads up booking all of our external events because people do want a controlled, intimate environment that's safe to them in their community, to gather for celebrations, for workshops, for trainings, because that still needs to happen in person. And that's something that I think of the beauty of it is that as much as Zoom has taken over the business world, there's still people that in a very safe way and with following the guidelines, isn't afraid to put practices in place to keep community in the same under the same roof.
Yeah. And I would give you
so those are going to be our focus.
A ton of credit for spearheading that too, because you can't replace that in-person connection that happens there. No matter how much Zoom is impactful, like we've obviously learned that it's great to connect and chat and keep up and be productive, but there's something that happens when you see someone face-to-face or just that camaraderie that happens.
100%. I mean, when we closed down, I mean, I was scared. Like to say I wasn't, I mean, scared was not even probably the appropriate word. It was a level of fear I think I've never faced before. And it was like, okay, I just opened this. I just borrowed against my entire life after living debt-free for 11 years.
That's impressive.
Yeah. We'll talk about that one. and you know, talking my husband into, yes, we should borrow against anything we own so I can open up a community space that hasn't been done in the state of Tennessee because I think it's going to work. It was really scary to open and close.
I want to press into that feeling of that fear because I know a lot of other business owners that are listening to this have probably experienced something the same. We've been talking with fitness and restaurants and all of that. So even just like in the co-working space and the workplace community of that immediate panic that happened how did you, one, get through it, and two, tell yourself that you were going to come out of this okay? Or did you just let that consume you for a second? Like, how did you work through that fear in the beginning?
It consumed me. I mean, it legit did. Here's the thing. I am someone who, like, if you're a friend of mine or like in business partnership with me at all, and you're tend to be a little bit pessimistic or kind of don't see the brighter side of things, or a little, probably the last person you ever want to be around, because I am overly optimistic. The glass is always half full. It's always rainbows and butterflies, like no matter what. And I think, you know, it comes back to some things where I'm like, if this is what God's given me to handle, like I can handle this. I'm equipped, you know, where I've seen some bad stuff, you know what I mean? Where I'm like, wow, I don't know if I can handle that, but like this I can handle. It was tough. I kept on thinking that I could handle, but really when I looked at it, I was not handling it. You know, I remember week one, I thought, oh my goodness, if I have 1 week, how do I work 15 hours a day to do everything that I couldn't get done when people needed me all day long? And week one went and I was cranking out. I was busting out. I was getting things done. I was contacting people. People are a little bit slow because I think, again, mentally, it played such a game and wreaked such havoc on everyone. Where like, I was like, why aren't people in the same mind space I'm in? Why aren't they reacting? Why aren't they responding? Why aren't they on this same, like, let's get some stuff done here. Week two, I didn't want to get out of bed. Mm. I mean, that's the honest God truth. I've never, ever, like, I've never had to deal with depression. I'm very blessed in that. I have a lot of friends that I've had, so I'm very familiar with what it looks like. I have family members, but I literally would wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, panic, like heavy on my chest. And I would stay awake and I was like, oh my goodness, what did I just do to my family? Like that's first thing. And then like, what did I just do to all these women? I mean, we opened with 67 members. What did I just do? They trusted me. We only had 4 members leave us during that 2-month close down. And, but there was that too. Like, how do I ask people to keep on paying for something that isn't offering them anything? You know, and out of guilt, I didn't cancel my gym membership because I was like, wait a minute, I can't be sitting here thanking God that no one's canceling on us. And then I go and cancel on another small business. you know, it was one of the things, and I have a full-time career as a photographer. And so my world there, I mean, that was ripped inside out and upside down. I mean, our first week closed, we moved 42 plane tickets. Oof. Because we do a lot of destination, and you know, and that was a lot on us, but more so like trying to be there for my clients whose weddings and investments and family are affected. And so week two, it was dark, and it was the first time I've ever experienced that. And I never thought I even had that mental capacity to go there, and it sucked. And my husband's like, you know, knows I'm rock solid, and I think he was worried. And then week three happened and I kind of settled into, okay, what do I need to do? I have people who are paying. I need to figure something out. And I was really lucky. I reached out to the women in my community and I said, hey, you know, we didn't get a chance to do this, but like, let's get you some exposure. Like, let's do some Zoom calls. And we reached into our community of women to say, hey, would you train? Would you get on a Zoom call? Would you talk about what you're doing? Would you share? And everyone was so open. And, you know, so when I still think back to like the darker days of quarantine, I think about the awesomeness that came out of that. So I think that, you know, now looking back, like there was just all these learning moments, and sometimes it had to get really scary, I think. And I kept on, I would post on social and I would say, you know, after that week of not wanting to get out of bed, I would literally pose a lot of like, I hope everyone can see the blessing in this pause. Like, hey, you guys, this is a pause. Like, let's look at this as a pause. Like, when else? And I mean, I remember sharing with someone, like, when else are we going to be intentionally given, handed over worldwide, a pause? No one expects anything of you, even though if I heard the word pivot one more time.
This is a cuss word now.
it's totally a cuss word. Like, it's like the word moist, which just grosses me out. Like, just please don't say the word pivot around me.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things where like, everyone's like, what are you doing to pivot? What are you doing to pivot? And I'm like, if pivot means what am I doing to get out of bed and brush my teeth? I'm not.
Yep.
You know, I'm Googling how to file for bankruptcy. You know, I'm Googling, like, I'm reworking my financial pages going like, okay, if nothing else comes in and I'm still having to pay rent and I still have to do this, how long do I stay afloat? Like, that's what I was doing. And you know, I came into the building and I literally turned off all of our power. I just flipped the switcher box.
Just boom, shut it down.
I'm like, yeah. I'm like, we got like our first electric bill was like $279, which is small in a space this large. And I was like, ooh, I'm going in there. I was like, flip the breakers.
just save $279.
Yeah, you know, and I mean, and that was the real truth out of it, you know, and I wasn't keeping, you know, I couldn't really share it out there a lot because opening Tennessee's first co-working space for women was received in the public very well. And it was, you know, news and, but yeah, so it was not pretty. And, you know, on top of that, I own a photography company that keeps my family, like pays for my daughter's education. It's my 401k. It's pays my mortgage, you know, my husband's in law enforcement.
And I would categorize you as a very, like you said, optimistic, like rainbows and sunshine all the time. And I definitely, knowing you personally, I'm like, yep, that's so accurate, which is why I think I like feed off of your energy and you feed off mine so well. But even with that, like, did you have someone come and like, was it your husband that stepped in and like shook you and was like, hey, like, this isn't you, snap out of it? Or did you just wake up one day and say, I can't live like this anymore? Like, what got you through that 1 week? Because that's like, so many business owners are sitting in that maybe even still fear right now. And maybe they need to get through 100%. That.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, let's not kid ourselves. I mean, it's definitely still a very real fear. Like no one knows what 2021 has to come. I'm very optimistic that not that everything's going to be okay. Cause I'm also, I can also be very like, hey, this is what we're living in. This is reality. How do we make the best of this be in our reality? Does that make sense? Like, so you know, if someone took my house and took all my clothes and I'm standing on the street naked, like, how do I make the best of this right now? I'd probably take to TikTok because then I go viral. And there's the answer to that. But I mean, definitely it's still fearful today because we don't know. You know, I own a community co-working space, you know, and we are not like any other business. So us navigating it, I can't say, oh, well, this is what they're doing. And I do have some partners that also own co-working meeting spaces and we're trying to navigate it together. So we're not alone, but I would truly be doing your listeners and sponsors and everything a disservice if I didn't say that fear still exists today. And it used to be my fear that drove me was the fear of like, I know I can make this work. I'm not just like living on a prayer. I see that it is needed. I see women need this. I'm feeling a void. I see the fruit in it, like daily with our members. But it's still with a very solid sock to the gut feeling every day of like, what is the world going to deliver to us today?
Yeah. And the doubt of, did I make a wrong decision? Did I jump too soon? Was this all meant to be? What am I supposed to learn from this? Like,
yes.
All of the COVID things that we're just learning along the way.
All of that. So you ask what I did. You know what? My husband's not a business owner. You know, he is my biggest cheerleader. And he's such a great support when it comes to like, he's my rock. But he's definitely not like, he's not the optimistic guy that I am by any means.
Y'all balance each other.
He's a little bit more like, you'll figure it out. I'm like, what does that mean? You'll figure it out. Yeah. I'm like, oh, but I also don't know if I want his opinion either. So I kind of appreciate that. So I would say that like what I truly did is I plugged into a lot of podcasts like this is amazing. I mean, I listened to a ton of Brene Brown. I listened to a lot of Gary Vee, you know, cause he really talks about like living outside your ego and living outside of what society has placed on you because it's all in your mind. And I really like how raw he is about it. Because it really shakes you. You're like, you're right. Like this is what I think people are thinking of me, not what I'm thinking of me. Like I'm trying to place everyone else's thoughts into my actions and my course of my business. And I don't know if that's even true, you know? So I need to stop thinking it's society's pressure on me and I need to just think about what I need to do. So I plugged into a lot of podcasts. I did a lot of walk and talks. I think you probably saw, like, I kind of created this like whole like walk and talk. So like every day, and it was, I had a calendar. And so whether you're a friend or a potential business partner of some sort, you got on my calendar. I did a walk in the morning for an hour, and I did a walk in the afternoon for an hour, and I put it on my headset and I walked with people. And, that really helped, even having that scheduled time, because it made me really reach out to people, who I love and respect. Kirby Miller, being one of them from, Kimini Kitchen. Exactly. And it really allowed me time to like, just kind of share. And sometimes we just talked about marriage and the struggles of marriage. And sometimes we talked about parenthood. And sometimes I talked to friends who had their third miscarriage, and just like really helped me hone in on like, is this really bad? Because here's the thing, I'm not the only one going through this. The world is going through this. So it was truly a lot of that. I took my very first ever therapy ever.
Really?
I joined the happy hour. I did a group. It was called Discover Your Greater North, and it met Saturdays, ready for this, from 11 to 1. Like, worst time you could ever meet for group therapy. But during quarantine, not so much, because all I was doing was sitting on my back deck in the sun. And yeah.
We didn't know what day it was anyways.
I didn't know what day it was. That is so true. You're right. And that was really, other than I didn't have to homeschool my daughter. That was miserable. I should never be a teacher. But that was really one of the things. So you ask what I did, is I would say the happy hour, Discovering Your Greater North, was something that really gave me a foundation to think inside myself. And then from that, I actually hired a personal coach. And I did one personal coaching session about like how to find back to your ideal self. And in that journey of really mapping that out, by the way, I highly recommend everyone doing this. This is something I love about your post, Amber. Like, I feel like you are who I want to be in my next life. Like, you are really good, or at least it's really good at showing. You're really good at putting a big pause when you get, I mean, I even heard you in here yesterday. Like, you're really good at saying enough is enough. This is what I can handle, because I also want to balance some of the other things. Where I look at things and I go, I can almost handle it all. And how do I make that fit into my life versus how do I fit my life into what I'm doing?
Yeah.
And that's something
and it starts to run you.
It totally runs you. And I mean, and here's the thing, the crazy thing is, and I'm sure I could probably drill this down with a therapist and discover it's probably not healthy, but I also live, like, I love managing in the chaos. I love figuring things out. So with this, like, I thought, okay, Kathy, this is your time to like, just, you're going to figure this out. Like, there is a solution to this problem. The problem just doesn't continue on and on and on. Like, no problem does. You know, I'm healthy. I don't have cancer. You know, my daughter's healthy. My husband still has his job. You know, my clients in my photography business, you know, they're moving their weddings, but they get to move their weddings. A lot of them just got married anyways. And we're like, we'll just have a celebration later. So they were also pivoting. But I will say sitting in it, again, was really tough. And doing that work of like going back to figuring out who my ideal self was. And this was like, I mean, she drills it down to you, like, what do you wear? Where do you have dinner? And so the great thing was, is my ideal self is from 7 years ago. And she was like, wow, most people are making up who their ideal self is. You actually lived her. Like, you know who she is to a T. Like, you even named like everything to a T. Like, you could taste what she eats, the drinks that she drinks, the workouts she has. And I think it's something that every entrepreneur should know. And it's something I share very openly when people come to me and are like, I'm thinking about starting my own business. I'm like, don't.
And then I'm like, think twice. Like, yeah. It's the biggest personal growth journey you'll ever go on.
You know, my biggest thing I tell them is this: you have to have a really solid backbone. The word lazy cannot fit in your vocabulary anywhere. You are not doing this because you want extra days off. You really have to check your ego in a really big way. And I think that's probably been something that's been my biggest challenge, because my full-time career is my name.
Your business is you.
My business is Kathy Thomas Photography. And that's, to me, your name is so much of who you are. I almost got a little choked up there. And so I'm always like, why didn't I name it like Butterflies and Rainbows Photography or something? And now people who don't name their name, I'm like, oh, I get why you did that. And so I really had to spend some time outside of that and drill into it. And in my ideal self, I found myself back to like, why did I create Collective? And it's because I know that I didn't want one more woman sitting in a coffee shop, you know, being harassed or uncomfortable or worried when they walk out to their car or being distracted.
And that was important for me about community is I knew that the first Collective 615, you like how I segued you there, the first Collective 615, I knew how to be in an ecosystem of service providers that made women's life better and easier personally and professionally.
So with the wink of the first Collective 615, do you have a big scary dream that you can say that you have a future vision? Not just because when I asked you originally for your future vision, it was like for the next year, like 2021. Mm. But if you had a big scary dream of like where you would ideally love to see the Collective community grow. I say community because I feel like even though it is a building, you've built something that isn't attached to a building. And so Yes. Do you have a big scary dream for Collective 615?
I do. I mean, I definitely do. I mean, some of it is obviously non-disclosure right now, but I think that we have really honed in on a niche that I have not seen replicated. I think that Collective 615 has honestly, and I don't want to say zero to do with me because obviously that's not the case, but Collective 615 without me would still exist in other markets because of what we have created and built here. And it is that this is business first. And that means a business community. And I think that what I see a lot of other spaces do is like they become very network or again, take on a biased opinion in one way or the other, which then that segregates women, non-binary, those who identify, like they just, it divides and separates. Where I want Collective 615 to continually be a place where women, those who identify non-binary, can come to work, to work. And it's not about your political status. And it's not about your financial status. And it's not about your business model, if it is for lifestyle, hobby, or if it's your career. It is literally a place for you to come conduct business, to connect with other like-minded people, to generate revenue, to establish a space that inspires you, and then in return educates you to be better personally and professionally. I mean, we have stuff coming up that is about mental health. We have training and programs that come up about like what to do with your parents when they're aging. You know, like we're putting a lot of programming together next year to help us be just better women. You know, we just did a financial wellness event that was really based around like, hey, do you know why people are talking about refinancing their homes? Do you know what your options are in the digital banking world for your business? Do you know why, you know, a small business loan is such a high interest, like really educating women to like be packed with that. But then on the flip side of that, next year we are doing, we're kicking off the year with a mental health workshop for 2 days based around what it's like in the mental capacity of being a leader and an entrepreneur. And then we're going to have,
I'll be there.
One of our members who owns a legal aging services who helps you figure out what do you do with your parents as they age? Have they been investing properly to become, create a lifestyle for themselves and not a burden? All the way down to if your children has, you know, dyslexia, like what is available for you? What are your options? What does this mean? So we're really looking at creating this whole entire full program to just make life easier. With that, that doesn't mean we need one location. I mean, we are a petite location, just under 4,000 square feet. There is a need for more collectives throughout the country. I think there's a need for more collectives in Nashville. And that's one thing that's really important for us is to stay with the same mentality of making women's life better personally and professionally. And so as we look at other locations, they will be in markets where we are filling a void. And I think then there's opportunity too, and it's something we're exploring right now, is how do we create this whole entire entrepreneur-minded female business owners and figure out how other women can be part of the shareholder ownership of other collectives throughout the country.
Yeah, absolutely. For the women that are listening right now that are maybe feeling like they're not living up to their full potential, what advice would you have for them?
Reevaluate the people you spend most of your time with. Look at your common core of people around you. If you don't walk away from them feeling better about yourself or challenged in a good way, it's time to move on and really evaluate. And if that takes you down to one person, that one person can be someone who just helps you be your best self.
Yeah. Well, what do they always say? Look at your calendar and look at your bank account to see where you're investing your time and money. And that's, if it doesn't align with your goals, then good luck. That's where you're really spending your time.
And here's the thing. You know what? I'm saying this because there are so many great co-working spaces that are for each individual. Collective 615 is not for everyone. You know, and I think that's part of it. That's really important for people to know too, that like, if you're not working at home and you need a community space, find the one that's right for you. Mm-hmm. Because again, it's the place that's going to help you show up.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, to the entrepreneurs out there, I know we talked about the women not living up to their full potential and what advice you had for them, but for just overarching entrepreneurs in general, any listeners that are listening to this podcast episode, what advice would you have to an entrepreneur?
I would say, I mean, for existing entrepreneurs, don't doubt yourself. You know, be very calculated about the risks you take, but don't doubt yourself. If there is any time to be an entrepreneur, it is right now. I have a lot of friends that left their traditional jobs during COVID to start their own businesses. And that is scary, but so bold. But I will tell you right now, I mean, everyone knows the internet, the accessibility of every social media handle. If you have a dream, you're not lazy, you have a backbone to you. Right now is the time to be an entrepreneur. If you're an existing entrepreneur, you know, my biggest advice I would say is community. I think for any entrepreneur, don't give up, let your ego go and open yourself to a community that builds you up.
Amen. Woof. That's a mic drop moment. I'm not going to drop this mic, but that is a mic drop moment for sure. I love that. So for our listeners, where can they find you online? Where can they find Collective? Where can they connect with you?
So Collective is Collective 615, on every social. Our website is collective615.com. If you're local to Nashville, if you're dropping in, please come take a tour. If you take a tour, you could stay for the day. If not, you could just try us out for a day. We have drop-in passes on our website. I'm Kathy Thomas Retard, if you're probably not so as important, but that's my full-time career. When I'm not here, just trying to create community. And I mean, I invite people, if you like need to rent space for an event, if you need to take a meeting, like we have space, come in the building and go take a yoga class or get some gourmet popcorn or $5 donuts. Come see us. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing is like, come see the space. It really is one of a kind. We're in a 1929 hosiery factory. Like it's unbelievable. It looks like nothing I've ever worked in before. So yeah, come in and see us.
Absolutely. And the coffee on tap is my hands down my favorite.
I know. I think we're going to bring nitro back because people are like, well, where's the nitro brew? And I was like, oh, I thought that ended with the warm weather, but people are saying nitro brew, but we're waiting to tap into our wine on keg, which will be in the new year. And then maybe nitro will come back. But yeah, the coffee is definitely my favorite. Clearly, because I talk a lot. I'm fueled with a lot of caffeine.
I love that. I love it so much. Well, thank you, Kathy, so much for coming on the podcast. And it's been such an honor just to work with you and get to know your heart and get to share your knowledge. So thank you for being on. Hi there, Amber here. If you're loving the show, go find that little subscribe button on your podcast app. This will ensure that you won't miss a single episode. Until next time.